Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We have some projects going in Africa. We have our children back in the children's school and the Mione Public School, and then some are also going to special needs schools. We have some children that are special needs, and so we have about 21 or 22 children now that we're caring for at the children's home. So we ask you to be in prayer for them and for the needs to be met, the needs for schooling. They say here in Kenya that school, public school, is free, but it isn't. It's far from being free. There's always expenses for the teachers, for sanitary facilities to be established, for sanitizers and masks and all that kind of stuff. And then also, I ask you to be in prayer for the crusade coming up in Mbeya, Tanzania. And we'll be going down there, a team from here in Kenya. My assistant Pastor Sammy and assistant Zephaniah will be going down there and spending a week to 10 days in Tanzania. And so we ask you to be in prayer for that. It's going to be a big event. Bonnie Mwitege, a worship leader, famous worship leader from Tanzania, is going to be leading worship for us. And he'll have many other singers there with him. And so it's going to be a great event. We're looking forward to many, many thousands of people showing up and many, many coming to know the Lord Jesus. So keep that in your prayers. The 25th to the 28th of February are the dates for that Tanzania crusade. And we'll be traveling down there about a week before. And so keep that in your prayers and keep us lifted up and keep me lifted up for good health, protection in travel, safety in travel, and for all the provision that we need to carry out this great crusade. Well, today we're going to be talking about a wedding coming up. And again, spoke that everybody likes to go to a wedding and likes to be at a wedding to see two people commit themselves to each other. And so this wedding that we're going to be talking about today is like none that you've been here on the earth. It's like none that you've ever seen or will ever see. This wedding is a consummation of the age. It's a wedding of our Lord Jesus Christ with his bride, the church, and it will take place at the end of the age. And so we're going to look at a parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew 22, and it was starting in verse 1. This parable is a parable or a story, a simple story that illustrates a point or brings to a point what is a truth that will happen in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus speaks here in verse 1. It says, Jesus spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." That is, those who had been called were not willing to come. And verse 4, "Again he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' Verse 5, "But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business." Well, let me just stop there and recap what we've read so far. And so this kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. Okay, right away we're talking about Father God, Jehovah God, who arranged a marriage for his son. There we're talking about Jesus Christ. And it says he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. Well, his servants who are calling those are the apostles and the evangelists and the pastors, the teachers, the preachers, the teachers, all those who have been ordained, all those who have been, and I don't mean necessarily formally ordained, but ordained by God to preach the message, to teach the message, and to call those who are lost, to call those who are lost to come into the kingdom of God, to come to the wedding feast. And so This radio broadcast is just one example of that. There are TV programs, there are radio broadcasts, there are films and all kinds of ways to reach the lost. There are mission trips, short-term and long-term. There are missionaries in the field, on the field. Those are also people with the apostolic calling, or they've been sent out to bring the message of the gospel to the nations. And so the calling is to all those who are lost. And beloved, if you are listening to this program today and you want to get involved in reaching out to the lost, if you want to play a part in reaching the lost, which you should as a child of God, as a born-again believer, you should want to play a part in reaching out to the lost. That is your calling. That is part of your calling and your destiny. Maybe you can't come to Africa. Maybe you can't go to Guatemala or Mexico or Asia, but you can send. You can be a part of the sending team. If you have money, you can send. Think about what you're doing with your money. Think about what God wants you to do with the money, how you can use that money to help spread the good news of the gospel, how you can use that money to call those into the kingdom through a missionary, through a mission organization, through a crusade, through a radio broadcast, a television broadcast. Maybe it's your local church and you're sponsoring missionaries in your local church. That would be great also. And so the Lord God, Jehovah God, is telling the servants, and those are the servants, the prophets, starting back when he started to send out prophets and say, come into the kingdom, come into the kingdom. And so he sent out prophets and says, my oxen and my fatted cattle are ready. Everything is ready. All things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. And one went to his own farm, another to his own business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Well, beloved, the servants have been mocked, the servants have been scorned, the servants have been treated spitefully, the servants have been killed and beheaded, and the precious blood of the saints has been spilled all over the earth as they have tried to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will be persecuted. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to speak up. And if you're not being persecuted, the reason you're not is because you're not speaking up. You're not putting your life on the line. You're not speaking up so that anybody knows where you stand in regards to Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, if you know Jesus and you start to speak on his behalf, people are going to be offended by you. People are going to be offended by your message, and they will mock you. They will treat you spitefully. And that just goes with the territory of all of us who preach the gospel. That's why we need to pray. That's why I ask you to pray for my safety, for my good health, for my provision, because I'm here on the firing line. I'm here on the front line, and there's many people of other religions here in Africa. And when you are on the firing line, you're going to get fired at and you're going to get persecuted. And so that is just part of the territory of the servants that the Jehovah God sends out, is that you will face persecution. Well, in verse 5, I want to focus on a couple of aspects of this first verse 5. It says, but many of these who were called, they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his own business, another to his farm. Beloved, when you are preaching the gospel, understand this. Many people are not going to appreciate the message. Many people are going to turn and go away from your teaching, go away from your preaching. They think their farm is more important than their need to know Jesus. They think their business is more important than their need to know Jesus. In America especially, we have many people that worship mammon or worship the almighty dollar. They don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to study their Bible. They don't have time to witness. They don't have time to pray. They're just so busy in the rat race. They're so busy chasing after the almighty dollar that when you talk to them about Jesus, their eyes just get glazed over and they can't respond because they don't feel they have any need to come to the Lord Jesus. If you remember in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, which I have spoken about several times here on this broadcast and also preached at the Crusades, there was a seed that was scattered in the briars or in the thorny ground, and that seed was, the plant came up, the plant started to grow, and it started to develop, but then the thorns choked it out, and the thorns represent the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. And so the deceitfulness of riches is that people think the most important thing is money, and so they can't take any time off from making money. They don't see any need to come to the Lord Jesus. They don't see any need to repent of their sins because they think they're a good person. They're in the rat race and they're working hard to supply money for their family or for themselves. And so Sunday becomes a day of work. It becomes a day to continue their pursuit of money, or if they're exhausted on Sunday, they want to go to the lake, and so they don't have time for church. They want to go play golf. They want to go to the lake. They want to entertain themselves on Sunday and relax, watch TV, whatever. And so that thorny ground represents the riches of the world, the cares and the deceit of the world, and so they can't come to know the Lord Jesus. And so they make light of the message. Back to verse 5, Matthew 22, they make light of the message. One goes to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized the servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Well, when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, and he destroyed these murderers and burned up their city. Well, that's a picture of hell. That's a picture of the judgment that is coming for these people who have no time for the Lord. That's a picture of judgment that is coming for these murderers who treat the servants of God spitefully, these people who murder and steal and mock these servants of God. They are going to be burned up eventually. They're going to spend their eternal life in eternal flames, in eternal torment, separated from God, where the worm never dies, where eternal darkness is there perpetually. And so this is the place that they will end up. And so this is a picture of the judgment when the Lord sends out his angel armies. They will be judged and they will be burned up along with their city. And so then he says in verse 8 to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who are invited did not come, or they were not worthy. And so he says, therefore, in verse 9, go into the highways and into the hedgerows, some scriptures say, into the highways, into the byways, into the hedgerows, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. And so this is the outcast. These are the ones who are in the forgotten places, in the rural places, in the small villages, in the countries that are forgotten, in places in Africa. Beloved, I have been into places in Africa that you can't even imagine. You have to blink your eyes to believe that you're even there. I flew into a place in Congo one time called Butembo, a city of 700,000 people. Many of them were refugees that had fled into this city because the rebel armies in East Congo were driving them out of their homes and out of their villages. And so they fled into the nearest city, which in Northeast Congo is Butembo. It is kind of a district capital of that area. And there was not one paved road in that whole city of 700,000 people. This was about almost 10 years ago. So there may be some paved road there now. I don't know. I haven't been back for many years. But beloved, 700,000 people, and when the roads were wet, they turned to mud. When it was dry, they were very powdery and dusty. And this was a place where people had fled for refuge. And so you will find these kinds of places when you submit to the Lord Jesus and you submit to Jehovah God and you say, Lord, here am I, send me. And so when you submit to these places, When you submit to God and you submit to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit directs your steps, you will end up in the highways and the byways and places where you never expected to go, where you didn't even know they existed. And the Lord said that this is where I'm going to send you, because the first bunch that I called, they didn't respond. And so we're going to send you to some people that are desperate to know the gospel, desperate to know the Lord Jesus, and hungry for his word. So in verse 10, so these servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all who they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And so at the end of the age, the good grain, the good harvest will come, but also within that harvest there'll be tares. The parable of the tares tells us at the end of the age, when all of the people are gathered up, there will be good with the bad. And so that's what this verse 10 is talking about, is that the tares, the weeds, will be gathered in. And you know, when we take a combine into the field, if there's weeds in the field, the combine also takes the weeds into the header and in through the feeder house and up into the machine. And all those weeds then can sometimes plug up the combine if there's too many of them. And so you have to stop and clean out your places where they're plugged. But the combine puts the wheat or puts the maize up into the bin at the top of the machine, and the weeds and the trash and all the chaff goes out the back of the combine. Well, that's what's happening here at the end of the age. The tares and the wheat will be gathered up together. And so in verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, that is the Lord God, when he came in to see the guests at this place where they were gathered at the wedding hall, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Well, beloved, that's a picture of hell again right there, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the outer darkness. And when you get cast in there, there will be no second chance. Your relatives cannot pray you up out of that place. Your friends cannot cry out for you and get you out of that place. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The worm never dies. Fire never goes out. And so this will be a place of eternal hopelessness, of eternal separation from God. And so those that don't have the wedding garment, this is where they will end up. Well, what is that wedding garment that the king is looking for us to clothe ourselves with? I'm going to refer to Galatians chapter 3 in verse 26. And it says here, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Well, if you have been baptized into Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you've confessed your sins, repented of your sins, and submitted yourself by faith into the kingdom of God, submitted yourself to Christian baptism, you are clothed with Christ. You have put on Christ, and so you have that wedding garment. When the king walks into the wedding hall and looks at his guests, you're going to have that wedding garment on, and you will be then seated to have supper with the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb. You will be a selected guest at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, verse 14, I'm going to refer to that in chapter 22 again. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Well, beloved, every person on the earth is called. Many are called. How many can you say are called? Well, that's about 7 billion plus now, because most of the people, not all people, but most of the people in the world have heard the message of the gospel. Most of the people, there are still some remote tribes in Africa, and there are still some remote tribes in South America, Central America, different places that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ yet, the good news of the gospel. And so we need to reach out to those. I've been in some villages here in Africa where the people had never seen a Mzungu, and even beyond that, they'd never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But those places are getting to be increasingly rare because of the advent of electricity, because of the advent of television, because of the advent of the internet and phones and all of these new modern inventions. But there are a few places where people have never heard the gospel, but most places have. And so many have rejected the gospel because probably 6 billion or more, 6.5 billion of the people on the earth have heard the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, but many have rejected. And so those people that have rejected will spend their eternal life in hell. They will be given a chance. The Lord gives us chances over and over, but if they continue to reject, they will spend their eternal life in condemnation, in separation from God. And so the chosen ones, those who are chosen, will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They will stay and they will sup with our Lord Jesus Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I'm going to close here in Revelation chapter 19. I don't have time to go into this in much depth today, but the Revelation chapter 19 is a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to start in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's the church, that's the body of believers who have been taken up into heaven, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. That's the clothing of Jesus Christ. That's, you are clothed with Christ. The fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And so when you get ready to be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the righteous acts that you've done, the good works that you've done for the kingdom after you have been saved, those righteous acts will be noted, and you will be given a garment of fine linen, clean and bright, and these righteous acts that you've done will be represented by this fine linen, by these robes that you put on when you're seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And verse 10, then John, the writer of the book of Revelation, I fell at his feet. He's falling at the feet of an angel. But the angel said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, I'm going to close right there. Don't have any more time. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is this. I died for you on the cross. I shed my precious blood for you. I shed my blood for you so your sins could be blotted out, so your sins could be forgiven and rolled back for the remission of your sins. I shed my blood for you. Would you take my offering today? Would you receive my offering today so that you can be seated also at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, beloved, I hope you receive that invitation today. I hope you say yes to Jesus today. Get down on your knees, repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Get involved in a good Bible-believing church, and you will be blessed. You will reserve your seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for all the many years of support, of prayers, and financial support. We invite you to support this ministry, to join with us as we take the message of the good news of the gospel to the nations of Africa and all across the earth on the internet through these radio broadcasts. And we praise the Lord for all the good years that we've been able to do this. We invite you to partner with us. We want to hear from you. Pray about your part in joining this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.